God has something to say to us specifically this morning, and he's already spoken to us and spoken to our hearts in different ways during worship and the prophetic word that was shared at the end of worship. But I have something specific that I really believe that God wants to say to us this morning, and it's simply this, to each of you actually, and it's this: you can do everything. You can do everything. Okay. Now, this is not some rah-rah hyped up speech to get you to believe that out of the power of your psyche, you can do everything, but a declaration of what the Word of God says about you. And you can't make that kind of a statement without some scriptural basis to back that up. Otherwise, you get into hot water really quickly. But the truth is, you can do everything. The passage of scripture I'm going to use as the basis for our message this morning, and just unpackaging that statement a little bit, is this. It's from Philippians chapter 4, and it's verses 12 and 13. And I'm not really going to say much else by way of introduction, a few other comments after I've read the scripture passage. But let's do it right now. You're going to see it on the screen. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. And it says this. It's Paul speaking towards the end of this letter, which he wrote from prison. And he said to the Philippians this: I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now that really is the, although that's half of the text I'm reading this morning, it's really for me, for the purposes of this message, the preamble into the main portion of the text I want to focus on, which is verse 13 that goes on to say this: I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. There's an important truth contained in this simple verse, Philippians 4:13, which obviously is connected to what immediately precedes it in verse 12. But there's a simple and profound truth in this verse that if we get about faith, that if we get hold of it, can really change what our experience of Christianity is like as we live in this world and walk it out. And that's basically the proposition I'm making this morning, is this, that if we get a hold of the truth contained in that statement, I can do everything through him who gives me strength, it can radically alter our experience of Christianity this side of the coming of the kingdom of heaven in its fullness. And furthermore, that that's what God wants for us. That this was not some statement that Paul made that was to be kind of like a statement of where Paul was at, because Paul was a unique individual and an apostle. And so this is something he could do, but not something we can do. My contention is Paul is saying to the Philippians, I can do everything through him who gives me strength, and so can you. That truth can be expressed in three simple ways, and I'm going to do it along those lines this morning, in order for us to grasp what Paul's saying in this statement and then be able to apply it to our lives. Because, you know, when you come and you hear the Word of God, you don't just want to hear something expounded that's true to the Scripture, although that's important first. You want to be able to have some takeaway. It's not meant to tickle your ears. It's meant to change your life. So every time we hear the Word of God, irrespective of who's bringing that Word, that should be our disposition, that this is the Word of the Lord, and there's something in it through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit applied to my life that can produce change. And we preach for change. We don't preach for information and knowledge. We preach the Word of God for change. The first thing that we can see from this passage is this, of these three ways of thinking about this particular statement and having it impact our life, is this: the word of faith. The word of faith. And the word of faith contained in this statement is two simple words. So it's not word of faith, I guess it's words of faith, but word of faith is what I'm calling it this morning. The word of faith is this: I can. At the beginning of this statement in verse 13, Paul simply says, I can. And I submit to you this morning that that is a word of faith. Two simple words, I can. Now, in verse 12, we just read that Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content. And some time ago, I preached a message, I think last year, on the secret of contentment. That's not the focus of my message this morning, even though contentment is connected to what I'm going to say. So Paul says in verse 12, I've learned the secret of being content. And that phrase, learned the secret, is actually a technical phrase in the Greek. It was used at the time that Paul was around, not in the Hebrew religion or in the nascent Christian religion, but in the mystery religions of the time that were not Hebraic or Christian. There's a phrase here Paul lifts from the mystery religions and he applies it in this context. And it's the phrase, learn the secret of. And it was a phrase that spoke to being initiated into one of these weird and wonderful mystery religions that were around. And they had all kinds of strange ways of initiating you into these different religions. Paul takes that idea and that phrase and he says, basically, I've been initiated into an experience of the contented life in Christ. This is not the kind of contentment that the Greeks and the Stoic philosophers were talking about at the time, which was like an impassive thing, what we would describe as fatalism, where you just regard the circumstances of life as something that can't be changed, you just impassively accept everything and say, well, that must be the will of God. Paul's not talking about that. When he talks about contentment in verse 12, he's not talking about an impassive, fatalistic thing based on self-sufficiency. He's talking about a faith rooted in the sufficiency of Christ. So when he says, I've learned in any and every circumstance to be content, it's because he's experiencing the reality of the sufficiency of Christ, whether he's got plenty or whether he hasn't. This is the kind of sufficiency that God spoke to him about when he had a little tete-a-tete with the Lord about this a thorn in his flesh, whatever that was. He had this little tete-a-tete with the Lord three times and said, would you get rid of this? And whatever the this was, in terms of the thorn in the flesh, Jesus turned around to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, he was saying to Paul, I have you in a place of weakness so that my power can be perfected. And my power is linked to the all-sufficiency of my grace. So when Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can, what he's doing basically is taking on board a positive perspective about everything in life, whatever the everything is in his life. He's saying, I can. He's taking on board a positive perspective. Paul's emphatic and he's optimistic. That's what those two words are, aren't they? When somebody says, I can, you hear people do great feats all the time, whether they're sporting feats, whether they're engineering feats, whether people walk through tremendous obstacles in life. They basically are harnessing a positive perspective and they're saying emphatically and optimistically, I can do this. Great entrepreneurs do things that most of us don't do because they have this kind of I can attitude. And they also tend to be visionary and they can see things that most of us can't see. Paul's saying, I can. What he's basically doing is saying, look, what I have and what you need, Philippians, and what we need today in the 21st century is we need to have a positive perspective in God. We need a positive perspective in God. If we don't have a positive perspective in God, we will not be able to say as Paul said and do as Paul did regarding the everything in our lives. We need a positive perspective. Let me kind of unpackage what I mean by that. Because that positive perspective has to be heart and head. It has to be rooted in faith. That we can have a confident and contented perspective, whatever the circumstances and situation in our life is. And what that really means, when I talk about positive perspective, this is what I mean. I mean seeing things from God's perspective. Some people refer to this as having divine perspective. I'm just going to say this morning, positive perspective. But in scriptural terms, in kingdom terms, to have a positive perspective is to have a perspective rightly aligned with the mind of God. Right? You remember Isaiah, the oracle of God speaking that the words of God and saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, and so on. So a positive perspective that I'm talking about this morning is one rightly aligned with the mind and will of God, as conveyed to us in the Word and empowered to us through the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about, you know, Mr. Peel and his power of positive thinking, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm not interested in the power of positive thinking. I'm interested in the power of positive faith. And there's a big difference between those two. The power of positive thinking is drummed up from the human psyche. It's based in human energy. And there are certain positive results that come from having the power of positive thinking. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. That's not the way Paul lived. His positive perspective was rooted in faith in the Son of God. And that's what God wants for our lives. I don't believe he just wanted this for Paul. And Paul was speaking it to the Philippians so that they could exercise faith toward God in the same way. Paul did this in his life. He spoke the word of faith into the reality of the situations that were confronting him. He didn't pretend those situations weren't there. He spoke faith into them. And in so doing, he was sustained by the power of God to go through the everything that God brought in his life. Now, what I want to do this morning, something I would not typically do, I want to take four passages of Scripture, and I want to just read them to you, and I just want to let the Word of God speak to you from the pen of Paul to your ears and your heart. This is the life that Paul lived. We sometimes put these apostles on this pedestal and think that they kind of lived in this kind of glorious ascended place in the heavenlies and they didn't have to deal with the stuff on the earth. Nothing could be further from the truth. I want you to hear from the pen of Paul, as I said, to your ears and eyes and to your heart, what the Paul who said, I can, about everything in life, what his life looked like, what that everything looked like for Paul. Okay, in the first of those passages, they're found in the first and second letters of Corinthians. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 4, verses 9 to 13. For it seems to me that God has us apostles on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die in the arena. Let me just make a comment on that. I said I wasn't going to, but it's hard for me to do that. Okay, so what I'm going to say about this, so you understand what he's saying here, is when the Romans conquered a people, and that's what the Romans did all the time, they had one of the biggest empires the world has ever seen. And they did it by crushing all resistance. Okay? And in their time, they were the power on the earth. Paul, in fact, was a Roman citizen. Tarsus was under Roman control from where he came. So the Romans, when they defeated a power, they would like, the country I come from, they invaded it in AD 55. Julius Caesar came and said, I came, I saw, I conquered. And they did. They conquered the British Isles. They couldn't conquer the Scots. They're too wild and woolly. But they conquered the rest of Britain. And when they brought those guys back to Rome and had their triumphant procession in Rome about having conquered Britannia, all of the people that weren't slain, that were taken prisoners, would come at the end of the procession. That's what Paul's talking about here. That's what the Romans did. Their generals and conquering heroes would be at the front, then all of their soldiers, and then at the end of the procession, in a state of dishevelment and just about to be put into the arena to die, would be those that they had conquered. And Paul said, that's what God does with us as apostles. For it seems to me that God puts us apostles on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe. A spectacle to the whole universe.